So shall we pray before we begin? Lord Jesus, we just come before you. We thank you so much for who you are. We just pray right now, Lord, that you'd speak through me, that you would sharpen these words up, Lord, that we'd really hear from you. And Lord, we just thank you for your word. We just thank you for the power that it holds to change and to give us a greater vision of what can be. And I pray this morning, Lord, that we'd enter more fully into who you are, into your character, into your nature, that we too can reflect something of who you are. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So it's a beautiful weekend, isn't it? Absolutely wonderful. I just love seeing the sun. It just makes everything look just a bit different, doesn't it? So this morning we're going to continue looking at the Beatitudes, and this morning we're going to look at blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And as I talked about, and we've talked about over the last few weeks, the Beatitudes are about Christian character. They're about God's attitudes and about God's character. It says this in Philippians, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. It says in Ephesians, be imitators of God, therefore as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us, as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. And so let me read and remind us from the Beatitudes, which can be found in Matthew 5. They're also in Luke 6, but I'm going to use Matthew 5 as the one I'm going to refer to. It says this. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And so we're looking at this morning, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. God's intention is that we would see him and that we would know him. It says this in Romans, it says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his internal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, been understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. And so God's intention is that he wants to reveal himself to us. And one of the ways God does that is through pointing to something of his character and nature through creation. When yesterday morning, I got up early with a number of guys from the church. We went to Glenda Lock. It's the first time I've been there. Absolutely beautiful. And the sun was out, and we met at the car park at the bottom of the lock, and we assembled together at different times as we do over here. We all arrived at sort of between, I don't know how long it was. And we eventually assembled together, and we walked from the left-hand side up these kind of train sleepers up into the mountains, and we climbed right up the top, and as we got to the top, there's a vista where we could begin to look out over the lock, and you could see the lake below us. You could see the mountains on the left and the right. The sun was bringing the beautiful greenness out of the fauna and the flora, and the rocks were really standing out, and you could see the reflection of the trees in the water. And as we stood there, I was just standing with Malcolm Hunt, and all we could talk about was, isn't it amazing what God has done? Isn't his creation beautiful? And you see, creation opens our eyes up to the possibility of God. It shares with us, it communicates with us something of who God is. I'm always absolutely surprised at people who are atheists. Because the only reason I say this, because you must have incredible faith not to believe in God when you see God's creation. A few years ago, I've said a number of these stories, I'm going to say to you before, but I went to the Grand Canyon in America, and I went up there with a friend of mine, and you hear about the Grand Canyon being this massive expanse of space and everything, and when you hear these stories, you always expect to go there and go, oh yeah, right, yeah, it's nice, isn't it? So we drove up towards the car park where this vista was overlooking the Grand Canyon, and we couldn't actually see the valley or anything at that time, so we drove up, parked the car, and walked towards this kind of little place and stood here like this, looked up. Absolutely awesome. The size, the space, absolutely blew me away. And I'm one of these people who are quite inquisitive, so I actually enjoy not only standing on the top, I like to kind of get down into the valley and just see what it's all about. So we kind of climbed down this kind of rock path and right into the basin, right into the floor, down by the Colorado River, which I think is 6 miles there and 6 miles back, and we're told that there's no way we'll be able to get there and back within the period of time we had. But of course we thought, well, we'll give it a try anyway. So we got down to the basin and we looked up and we looked around, and the awesome presence of just seeing how big the creation was and how insignificant we are. And as I stood there, I felt the Lord speak to me, and he said this. He said, when I created this, I knew that one day you'd be standing here. So that's amazing, isn't it? Just absolutely blew me away that God would even think about someone like me. But you see, it's this creation that wakened me up, the hugeness, the awesomeness of who God is. God's intention is that we would see him and know him. Jesus lived and operated out of seeing God and knowing what the Father is doing. He says this, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. And so God was all about, Jesus was all about seeing what the Father was doing and participating in it. Jesus is all about finding out what is God doing and how can I get involved. See, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. As Andrew alluded to, thank you, Catherine. In Psalm 24, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in this holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. See, in this passage, it's an invitation to relationship with God. But that invitation requires that we have clean hands and a pure heart. To be close to God, we need clean hands. To see God, we need to have a pure heart. It says in Revelation, those whom I love I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. And God's invitation to us is always to come into his presence, to stand in the holiest of places. But the invitation requires us to put ourselves right with God, because we can't be in God's presence unless we have a right relationship with God. So what he says is, we need clean hands. And so in the Bible it talks about cleaning your hands ceremonially, etc., etc., which I'm not going to go into that at this time. But it's enough to say that for us to be into that place that God has bought for us upon the cross and welcomed us in, we need to be people who are quick to repent, because repentance makes us pure. It's the gift of God, it's God's grace that enables us to enter in to the very places of God, not because of us, but because of him. But it's God's purity upon the cross, it's God's blood that makes us pure. It's because of him that we can see God and see the Father. Another story you would have heard before, but I think it explains what I'm trying to say here. When I was out in America a number of years ago, a friend of mine, Doug, I was at a church working in the States for a year. For 3 months, we worked on a ranch doing a discipleship course up in the mountains. And the mountains in America are beautiful. They overlook the Antelope Valley, which is a huge plain of desert, and around the outside are these wonderful mountains. And my friend Doug's 6'5", you know, the big lad, and we became the best of friends. And as we began to build our relationship together, we used to go out and walk and chat and talk and get to know each other. And as we began to walk, we used to begin to see these mountains and think, oh, that'd be quite fun to climb that. And so one evening we climbed up this ridge together, and we sat on this ridge, which is kind of like a triangular thing here, with one leg over here, one leg over here, and he stood with one leg over here and one leg over here. We just began to chat and thought, gosh, that's quite a long way down. But anyway, we sat there together just chatting, and as we began to chat, we began to share with each other about the Lord and about what he meant to us. And as we began to chat and pray, we began to feel that it was important together to begin to put some things right in our lives, because our relationship was a good place at that time where we could say the things that maybe we couldn't say. So we began to repent of things that happened in our lives and going back to things we did many years ago. And just as a brother to a brother, we were able to say them together and pray for each other and begin to put some of these things behind us. And over the period of time, as we went walking, we'd go further and further up the mountain and bring more and more things with us. So we'd bring with us sweets and Coke and a big music machine with worship tunes on it and all that sort of stuff. And we'd climb up to the top of the mountain, and it's, at the higher you got up, the most beautiful view. And it was as if, as we were beginning to put ourselves right with God, it's almost like we physically climbed higher up the mountain. We came to that place, and as we got to the top, we used to lay out a space. We built a fire, which I now know historically we should not have done, because it wasn't me personally, but the brushwood fires in America are started by people like me, not me. And so anyway, we had this wonderful relationship of being really honest with each other, hanging out together, climbing a mountain together, getting to know God together, being vulnerable together. And one day we were coming down the mountain together, and as we came down the mountain, the presence of the Lord fell upon us. And we both ended up lying on this path. And as I remember lying there, my arms were outfolded, lying against the path like this, and Doug was over here. And one of the things he shouted out to me was, John, we've never been so strong. And it's because we've become nothing. But as I was lying there, I just felt this presence of the Lord go over me. And the way I can best describe it, it's like a hot air balloon going from left to right. You know the hot air, but the gentleness. And that gentleness as the gas is pulled. And I just felt the presence of the Lord go across. And all I could say is I just felt what purity was like. It was absolutely beautiful. It was so peaceful. You just didn't have to do anything. You just had to be. And it's almost like that through the repentance, through the time of being honest before God, the time we hang out together, we're then welcomed into a place of God revealing who he was, revealing his nature. And it's absolutely mind-blowing. So blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. A pure heart is the lens by which the Beatitudes operate. You cannot be poor in spirit without having a pure heart. You cannot mourn for the things that displease God without a pure heart. You cannot be meek. You cannot hunger and thirst after righteousness. You cannot be merciful. You cannot be a peacemaker or stand for persecution for the name of Christ without a pure heart. And David, as a person in the Bible who knew that probably more than anyone else, says this: Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And the pure in heart, I really believe it's almost like a posture before God. You know, all of us, we're not pure, are we, as God is? But it's almost like we come to God with the heart saying, Lord, I want to be like you. And it involves us having honesty. It involves us being sincere. It involves humility, involves brokenness, it involves us having a sober acknowledgement of who we are before God. that the priority of God is so central in our lives, that we're committed to pursuing God with everything we have, that we're men and women after God's heart. We desire to be a friend of God. And it's that dreadful advert, isn't there? That one that people use quite often in weddings and all sorts of things. The one about it does what it says on the tin, you know. The one that, in other words, what it says on the outside is what it is on the inside. And a pure heart radiates that. What is on the inside is very apparent on the outside. And that's what God wants us to be. That's what God's challenge to us is. The Bible warns us that there's a threat to our hearts. It says this: above all else, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. And so we need to be very protective of our hearts and very protective of the thing that God has given us. And in the same way, the human heart has a profound effect upon the physical well-being of the person, our spiritual heart has a profound effect on our health. And that's why it's what we're warned in the Bible about the condition of our heart. Jesus says this: you will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing and never perceiving, for the people's hearts have become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn, and I will heal them. See, Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And there's things that come into our lives that prevent us from seeing God. And it says about the callousness of the heart. It's almost like there's things that build up in our lives that prevent us from seeing God. And I remember when Catherine and I were in Stevenage, we had a bathroom where we had a particular shower that used to get very, very calcified. I don't know if you have that problem, but every week we'd be scrubbing the shower head just to make sure that we could get some drips through it. And so often you have the shower, you turn it on, and instead of it coming down this way, it'd be shooting off that way and you know that, all that kind of stuff. But you see, the calcium had built up on the shower head, and no longer could the water come through and do what it was meant to do. In the same way, when we let things in our lives build up, which the Bible refers to as sin, they have an effect of building callous or calcifying our hearts, that we get out of touch with what God is doing. We kind of lose our space, we lose our orientation, we lose where God is, and we can get out of context. Jesus warns this. He said, out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what makes a man unclean. See, an unclean heart cannot see God. Jesus also warns us that it's not just how we respond on the outside. As he says this: these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain, but their teaching are rules taught by men. And you see, again, the Lord is so interested on what's on the inside. The Lord's so interested in what's happening in our hearts. And it's not about how well we present ourselves on a Sunday. It's easy to come here on a Sunday, isn't it, with a big smile. How are you? I'm doing great. Having a great week and everything. Which, praise God, I hope you are. But sometimes we have that outward look that everything's going okay, isn't it? But God wants us to be really honest. And when things are not okay, that's okay. Not to pretend, but to be honest before God, because He is the answer. And I just think it's amazing. It says this in Isaiah 53, describing Jesus who was to come. It said this: He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to Him. And that's an incredible thing, isn't it? An incredible statement about what God was going to be like when He came to us on earth. Because so often, to be accepted is often about what you look like, what you have, what you can do. Jesus, it wasn't about that. He came to show us what God was like. And he presented it in a way that was very normal. He looked like us. So how does purification, how do we get a pure heart? Well, the one thing I've learned over the years is a pure heart is not formed in the public events. It's in the secret places between us and God. That's so often where God does his business with us. It's not here on a Sunday. It's at home. It's living in families. It's living with friends. And that's the place where the Lord refines us. A pure heart often happens in a place of struggle, of pain, of difficult circumstances. And that's why when David says this in Psalm 51, when his sin had been exposed publicly before the nation, even in the midst of his humiliation, his cry out to God was this: create in me a pure heart. Why is that? Because a pure heart sees God. I want to see God. Don't you want to see God? He's great. He's wonderful. And so the process of God working is also often through very difficult times. A diamond is formed under great pressure. Metal, to get out the impurities, is heated up to incredible heat. And the struggles of life work on us holiness. And you see, the pure in heart is not a permanent state. It's not something where I'm pure in heart, now I can get on with my life. Purification happens over time, in years. And as we grow in our faith, as we grow as Christians, we become more mature. And hopefully as we grow, we become more like the Lord. And as I've seen in my life, and I've seen people who are older than, not just older than me, some people are not older than me, but who are more mature in their faith, they have a real knowledge of who God is. They're people who seem to be always able to see what God is doing, be able to know where he's acting, to be aware of God all the time. In the same way, Jesus is always aware of what the Father was doing. So how can we keep ourselves pure? Well, one of the good ways of keeping ourselves pure is through reading God's word, isn't it? This tells us what God thinks about the world, what he thinks about us. It tells us, it gives us a complete insight, a framework, a lens in which to view the world as it really is, as God sees it. And as we read God's word, as we begin to put it into practice, it begins to transform us and begin to work out our faith in a new way. Another way of keeping ourselves pure is through fellowship, isn't it? Through relationships. My friend Doug, it's just a great opportunity having someone who you can trust, who you can spend time with, who you can be really honest with. And we need those, don't we, in our lives in the church. We need people we can spend time with who know what we're like, and we can share, and we can say things as they are, and pray together. I'll have a spiritual director, someone who I can go along and spend some time with, and just to sort of say, just to have someone other than me to chat things through. I have other leaders from churches I meet up with who I can go and spend time with chatting things through. Having people who can pray for you, getting teams behind you who can pray for you as a couple, or you know that you can phone them up or you can email them, that can support you. That just helps us in this journey, because it's not always an easy one, is it? And another way of keeping ourselves pure is getting involved with what God is doing. Because as you begin to step into what God has called us to do, you actually realise it's not actually that easy to do, is it? I don't know if it's just me, but it's actually not that easy doing the things of God, is it? Am I just the only one here? It's actually quite a challenge. But as we step out into things God has called us to do, we then either become reliant on ourselves, or we realise we can't do it and become reliant on God. And it's in that process of being reliant on God that we see a wonderful transformation, because we begin to have to seek him. We begin to have to respond to what he has to say. We have to begin to learn to prioritise our lives around his business and not ours. And in the process of doing that, if we're seeing God, he must be purifying us, wasn't he? Because it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. So he must be involved in some process there, mustn't we? And ultimately, the place of purity, the place where we are made pure, is upon the cross, isn't it? What Jesus has done for us. And that is the place where we always come back to time and time again. Never to get bored of that place, because it's the place of rejuvenation, it's the place of revisioning, it's the place of the Lord bringing us back to what he intended. And it's through the cross that we're made pure. It's through the cross that we're brought into relationship with him. And it's through the cross that we're brought into relationship with each other. And it's through the cross that we need to continue to work out our relationships together. Because often it's the easy bit, isn't it, between us and God. The hard bit is work it out within the community together. And that is the challenge that the Lord has always set before us. So blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The pure in heart will have eyes to see like they've never seen before. Those of eyes to see will see God's work in our lives. We'll see God answering prayers. We'll see the Lord's guidance, the Lord strengthening us, the Lord's grace. We'll see him like we've never seen him before. And sometimes in our lives we lose that contact with God, don't we? We lose that sense of God being close to us. And so often when that happens, we need to go back to basics again. What is it that is in the way of us seeing God? And I always think it's about coming back to the cross. It's coming back to the place where we're made pure and we can see God as he really is. And it's out of that place that God restores us, empowers us, enables us to do what he's called us to do. So shall we pray? And Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you so much for your word. We want to thank you so much that your word is an encouragement to us. And Lord, I thank you that you give us an indication, you lead us and guide us in how we can see you. And we thank you that those who are pure in heart will see God. And I just pray now, Lord, that you would continue to purify us as a church. Purify us as your people, Lord, that you will make us more like you. And Lord, I just thank you that as we are purified, as we go through the purification process, which is not always pleasant, we can see you more clearly. And Lord, we want to see you more clearly, Lord. We want to see you more clearly at core. We want to see you more clearly in our lives, Lord. And so as we enter into some more worship, we want to see you, Lord. We want to make ourselves available afresh to you, Lord. We want to put ourselves right with you. And we just pray this morning that you would reconnect us with your Son. We pray this morning that we would know how much you love us. Pray this morning, Lord, that when we strayed, Lord, that you're welcoming us back into relationship. And thank you, Lord, that you're always reaching out to us. And Lord, I just pray this morning that we'll respond to you. And that we'll be responders of your love, Lord, that we respond to all you're doing in our lives, Lord. So shall we stand and let's just have a time of worship, then we're going to ask the Lord to do what he wants to do this morning. So let's stand, let's worship.